Thank you, choir. Gorgeous song. At the first service, I said, wow. And I would say that again. As you probably can guess, we are finishing our sermon series entitled Perplexing Parables. And I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." I don't know if you've ever seen the Krispy Kreme donut making machine, but I have. Many times, actually. One time I remember I was there and a number of the staff were with me as we watched this incredible donut-making machine. The first thing you notice is the donut plopper that plops the dough onto these flat sheets. And sometimes that dough comes out deformed. Yeah, oh. And you know that when those reach the end of the line, they're going to be rejected. The choir has been here before. Well, that dough then comes down and it goes into the fryer, and about a halfway through the fryer, there is a contraption that flips the donuts over onto their other side. But unfortunately, a few donuts don't make it, and they are only half baked. And you just know when those half baked donuts get to the end of the line, they're going to be thrown out. Trust me, we did not plan this morning. And then, you want to show that image? And then the donuts go through a waterfall of frosting. That's the right response. But sometimes, some of the donuts get to the very edges, or sometimes a dried bit of frosting will clog that waterfall, and a donut will not get fully coated, and when it makes it to the end of the line, it gets thrown into the trash. But most of the donuts make it to the end of the journey, and they are beautiful. Delicious Krispy Kreme donuts that just need to be eaten. Those are good. Bob, don't you wish you were preaching this morning? No. Well, you know, the Krispy Kreme donut making machine may describe the Christian journey. There are many things that can go wrong. But if you make it to the end, you are a hot Christian now. Because I don't know, see, one person got it. I don't know if you know, but when the Krispy Kreme come off the line and they are hot, there is a sign in the window that says, hot donuts now. And when you buy Krispy Kremes at that time, they melt in your mouth. I think if Jesus were preaching a parable today, he would use the Krispy Kreme donut machine as his parable. I think he would. But Krispy Kreme donuts weren't around when Jesus' day, so he uses what he has, and it's an agricultural society, so he talks about seeds, and he talks about soil. Each element in the parable this morning is an allegory. Every element stands for something. For example, the farmer in the parable is God. And God is planting seeds into various types of soil. Jesus also, in telling this parable, is describing his ministry, how he is scattering seeds into different types of soil, and that soil will respond in different ways. The seeds that are scattered are the Word of God. The Word is the good news about the kingdom of God. And this message that is scattered has the power to transform our lives. It is the message that Jesus comes to redeem us and to show us a way of living. My son is at ASU. He's in his senior year, but I think he's going to be a senior for 2.5 years. He's double majoring in engineering and psychology. And he's taking a class this semester that required him to take a rather extensive psychological inventory to fill it out, then to score himself and to see the results. But also a part of this class, he was also to take that inventory and to give it to somebody else and to score their results. Guess who he asked? Not me. He asked my wife. And she took the inventory. I have to tell you, I am really glad my son asked Beth rather than me. Because whenever you take a psychological inventory, it is all laid out in black and white. There is the good and there are the weaknesses. They're all right there. And I'd rather see Beth's weaknesses than my weaknesses every single day. I think my son really is trying to psych us out, find out what his parents are like, and then out-manipulate them. I don't know. But anyway, it's a psychological inventory. Well, Jesus points out that there are four soils with four different types of conditions of the human soul. And you are meant to identify which of the four soils you are. Matter of fact, you could see this as a very simplified psychological inventory. Because you have to pick out who you are. And psychological inventories are sometimes not very fun when they lay out all your weaknesses. And some of you might look at this psychological inventory and say, ooh, I don't like who I am. And so sometimes we'd rather shy away from these things. But Jesus gives us four choices. The first choice is this, that we could be the hard, compacted soil. That first choice. And like was said in the children's message, nothing grows on that soil. It's impervious to anything. It is so tough that nothing can penetrate down through the surface and nothing will grow. The sun will kill it. The birds will come and eat it. And it's representative of a heart that has become very hard. not moved by much. It's when people will say, I think this God stuff is crazy. I think this God stuff is a crutch. Faith is for the weak. Religion is for the gullible. And I don't need all that religious stuff. They're hardened to the Word of God. Lee Eklof tells about a true conversation that took place between a father and a son in his congregation. He said, one day the father asked his son, Max, why didn't you answer me when I called you? Max said, I didn't hear you, Dad. And the dad said, well, what do you mean you didn't hear me? No response. Dad then asked, how many times didn't you hear me? And Max said, oh, about 3 or 4 times, Dad. A person with a hard heart doesn't want to hear. So God's words are ignored. And the seeds fall on the path and they die. But here is the amazing thing. The amazing thing is God the sower, even though he knows the path is hard and compacted, still sows the seed. By the way, Jody said she wouldn't make a mess, but I will. So even though the path is hard, God still scatters the seed. Even though there's no possibility that any of that seed is going to take root, God is still scattering that seed. Why? Because God is the God of second chance, of new beginnings. And who knows, maybe a slight little crack might open up just enough that if there is one seed at that place, maybe that one seed will take root, which tells us a lot about God. By the way, can you show that next image? If that seed takes root, it looks a little like this. You see, that's God's hope. That even in the hardened heart, there is a chance. And God is not going to give up. The second choice is the shallow soil. It has a thin layer of soil over hardened rock. Anybody familiar with this in Gold Canyon? Yesterday afternoon, I went out into my backyard. I took a little pickaxe. I didn't have to dig very far, about 1/4 inch. I pulled up some caliche. It's everywhere in my backyard. Many years ago, I tried to plant 2 trees in my backyard. I had to bring in a backhoe to do it. It dug down about 5 to 6 feet. I put the trees in, and guess what? They lived for a brief time, and then they died, both of them, in different holes. I mean, like 20 feet apart. They reached the end of the hole, they hit the caliche, and they said, we're done, and they died. Some of you who live up near the base of the Superstition Mountains, what do you do with your soil that is mostly rock? I've seen what you do. You make walls out of this stuff. And then you hope there's soil left. I mean, that's the sort of soil we're talking about. This type of soil speaks of the people who have faith, but it doesn't go very deep. Their faith becomes fixed at a very shallow level. And a super simple faith will not work well in the times of a crisis. People fall away when tough times come. That's why the church is always encouraging you to strengthen your faith, to do Bible studies, to attend worship, to be in a small group, to be in a ministry, to be in a mission, to do something to deepen the roots of your faith. So they're not shallow when the drought comes. Dan Cole, a pastor, tells about a young ministerial candidate who looked very promising. He'd gone through college, and now he was applying to go on to seminary. He'd done the application, and the seminary said, "Well, we need your college transcripts in order to accept you into seminary to prove that you've received your bachelor's degree." But the transcripts didn't arrive. The seminary sent a couple letters to the university, and the university didn't respond. Finally, they called the university and said, "We need to know about this student you have in your school." And they said, "Well, we'll check our records." "Oh, we have no record of that student. He's never attended here. There's no attendance records. There's no grades. We have no record at all." So they called in the student and asked him, "You know, we've contacted the university you said you graduated from. Can you tell us why they don't show any records?" And he confessed. He said, "Well, my parents gave me the money to attend university, and I live there. I attended classes. I observed the classes, but I never enrolled. I never took tests. I was simply auditing the classes." Why? Because he was afraid to make a commitment. He was afraid to take the risk of having a bad grade. You see, he had a shallow commitment that didn't last. Shallow soil has no lasting commitment. It doesn't hold to anything for very long. It has a brief growth spurt, but then it dies. The third soil is covered with thorns. The seeds will fall among the thorns and they begin to grow, but those thorns choke out any growth. Jesus points out in the scripture this morning that the cares of the world or the love of money can choke out spiritual growth. Those thorns can overcome us. They block the light. They take all the nutrients from the soil. And as a result, our spiritual growth is stunted. In several youth groups, I love to do a program that we call the Temptation Walk. We gather all the junior and senior high kids and we tell them we have run a rope all the way through the education rooms and then it finally goes outside and it goes around several corners outside and your goal is to follow this lifetime journey on this rope. You are to take hold of the rope and never let go. If you ever let go, you have failed. And if you make it on this life journey by holding the rope all the way through the building, all the way outside, to the very end of the rope, we are going to give you a prize. But if you let go of the rope, you're done. So we space them out, and one youth takes hold of the rope, then another one about a couple minutes later. And what they do is the first youth comes up to a table, and there is a table, and on it there are snacks. But those snacks on the table are just out of reach from the rope, so that they will have to let go of the rope to get to the snacks. Now, most youth look at those snacks and they go, "Not a problem, I'm going to hang on to the rope." But then the next table, when they go into the next room, has a box of Krispy Kreme donuts on it. Would you let go of the rope? "No problem," he says. A couple kids let go of the rope to have the donuts. And then they gloat, of course, with their friends. "Ah, you could have one too." Kind of like what I did earlier this morning, you know. Well, then the ones that stay on the rope, they go to the next room, and there is a table with hot pizza. Yeah, a few more of them let go of the rope. But most of them hang tight and they keep going down that rope into the next room. And in the next room, there are TVs and video games. Yeah, a few more let go of the rope for the entertainment. And then the rope leads them outside, and outside they find on the ground a whole bunch of squirt guns that are fully loaded with water. But it's just out of reach of the rope. But if they let go of the rope, they can squirt their friends. A few more let go of the rope. Then they go around the corner of the building, and there is Fred sitting on a chair. And in front of me are water balloons. Yes. And I coax them off the rope, saying, "Hey, you can throw water balloons at me if you let go of the rope." A few more let go of the rope. The ones that are still hanging onto that rope, they go around the corner of the building, and there they find my wife, Beth. Yes, the most honest person, the most, I think, kindly person I know, and she lies to them. She does. She says, "Ha, you made it this far. I want to tell you, at the end of the rope, there's nothing. There's no prize. I mean, you might as well enjoy all the stuff on the rope because there's nothing at the end. Don't you believe me?" And yes, more let go of the rope. But a few are stubborn, and they hang on to the end of the rope, and sure enough, they find out there is an ice cream party celebration that they get to attend. And the other kids are a little ticked, especially the ones my wife lied to. They're really ticked. And we point out to them that this journey on the rope is a lot like life. There are so many temptations where we are willing to let go of God's safety rope for those temptations. And yes, people will even lie about this world, and we will let go of the rope. Those distractions, those temptations choke out our spiritual growth. Well, fortunately, there is the fourth soil, the good soil, the soil that we were created to be. We're called to be open to God's Word. And when we're open to God's Word, then we produce a harvest. Now, honestly, at different times, we are different types of soil in our life. There are times when we don't listen to God. There are times when our faith is really shallow. There are seasons of life when those thorns choke out God's Word. And then there are those times when the soil is fertile and open to whatever God would speak into our lives. And it is then that we produce a harvest. Ross Cochran tells of two men who both contracted cancer. And they were of two different soil types, and they reacted differently. The first person was a friend of his named Bill. Bill was an atheist when he got cancer. And he said, "I'm an atheist and I will intend to stay that way." In other words, he was going to be that hardened soil. He was going to let that cancer compact his life and compact his heart. He was like the path, and his heart was like concrete. But then Ross said his dad got cancer. And although his dad was not a Christian and not close to God in any way, it was as though God used a jackhammer to open up his heart and used that cancer, and he became that fertile soil, and he received news of God's good word into his life, and he changed. And he became good soil. By the way, after the 9:30 service this morning, one of our church members said to me, when she was diagnosed with the disease, she said, "I read a book that said essentially the same thing. I could either become hard and bitter, or I could change and become fertile soil." And she said, I made the choice to let go of the bitterness and the anger. And she also said, I am so glad that I did. Which soil are you today? Which soil do you want to be tomorrow? When we are the good soil, we produce a harvest. The scripture says this morning that one grain of seed can produce 30 grains or produce 60 grains or produce 100 grains. But I talked to somebody who lived on a farm who said, with today's modern technology and fertilizer, she said they counted once 700 grains out of one seed. That's what God calls us to do as Christians, as that fertile soil. It is our job to hear the Word of God. Irwin McManus is a pastor in California. And in his book called The Barbarian Way, he tells about the story of his son Aaron when his son was six. His son said to him when he was six, Dad, how can I recognize God's voice? And Irwin McManus, a pastor, said, I didn't know how to explain that. So he couldn't describe it. But a couple years later, he said that Aaron went to middle school camp for the first time. And Irwin said, about halfway through the week on Wednesday, I went up with a pastor friend of mine so we could check on our kids at camp. And he said, when we arrived, I found out that my son had been in an altercation, that he tried to pick a fight with another boy at camp, and fortunately his friends had held him back. Irwin obviously was not thrilled, but his son was very upset and had packed up all his stuff and shoved it into his dad's car and said, Dad, I just want to go home. I don't want to deal with this camp anymore. And Irwin McManus said to his son, well, son, we're going to have a conversation before we leave first. So they found two rocks and they sat down and they began to talk. And Irwin McManus asked, is there any voice inside you telling you to do something? And Aaron said, yeah. It's telling me I should stay and work through this. And Irwin asked, well, do you know what that voice is? And without hesitation, his son said, yeah, it's God. And Irwin said, well, are you going to listen to that voice? No, Dad, I'm not going to listen to that voice. I don't care what God says. And Irwin said to his son, well, you have a choice. You can choose not to listen to that voice, but there are consequences. If you don't listen to that voice, your heart will become a little harder, and it will become a little harder to hear the voice of God speak through your conscience. And you can do that. But if you continue to do that, what will happen is you will never hear God's voice any longer, and you will probably even say, God doesn't speak to us today anymore. But on the other hand, if you choose to listen to this voice and follow this voice, God will continue to whisper to you and to guide you. It's your choice. Aaron chose to stay at camp and work it out. You can imagine how relieved Irwin McManus was. It's a choice we make. Are we receptive to God's word? Or are we spiritually deformed? Or half-baked? Or partially glazed? Or are we a hot Christian now? Or in Jesus' words, what type of soil are you? Let us pray. God, we give thanks for these seeds of the word that scatter into our lives. Sometimes we confess we are not receptive. We are not open. We have our own agendas. We have our own ideas. And as a result, we fail to listen. But we know those times, Lord, when we are hearers, when we are doers of the word, that it changes our life. So, Lord, we pledge as your disciples to be that good soil, to be fertile, and to show it by our fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.